we are freed from anxiety. And before we even start this message, I just want to mention this very briefly because I think it's important for us to understand. When we say anxiety, I just have to throw this out. It is a very, very difficult subject for many people. Even just posting this week on Facebook, just a quote from the sermon incites a lot of emotion. Because nearly one in five Americans in 2022 have experienced anxiety or symptoms of anxiety. If you want to put a clinical definition on it, 300 million people would be diagnosed around the world with anxiety. It is what the mental health institution would call the most common struggle in mental health in the world. And so this is a very important topic. This is not something that we take lightly. And this morning we're going to look from the scriptures on what anxiety is and how God has, how God can help us and give us hope to resolve this thought of anxiety. Now, anxiety doesn't just trouble our minds. It's not just simply worry that troubles our mind. It can actually choke the very life out of you. In fact, the English word for worry comes from the old word in English meaning to choke or to strangle. How appropriate when we're talking about anxiety. Have you ever felt anxious to where you feel like you are being choked or you are being strangled? Because when anxiety does grip us, we can feel as if we are being strangled from the inside. And many of us, even here in this room, know that feeling. But this morning, I want to give you good news because God shows us that there is a way to be freed from anxiety. And we're not talking about quick fixes. We're not talking about just management of the symptoms of anxiety. But we're saying that God has given us hope through his word that we can have freedom at the heart level. And so specifically this morning, as we talk about anxiety, as we look about this topic of anxiety, how God has freed us from it, we're going to look at four specific key scriptures that speak to worry. We're going to look at Matthew 6, we're going to look at 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at Psalm 55, and then we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And I'll have you turn in each of those as we get that. But in each of these passages, God is giving a command. The command is, don't be anxious, don't be worried. But then with the command comes this gracious promise that he's going to help us. We're going to see how Jesus exhorts us not to worry because we have a faithful Father. We're going to see Peter's call to humble ourselves and to throw our cares upon God. David, in his song, invites us to cast our burdens on the Lord, who always will sustain us. And then we'll look at Paul's instruction, which is perhaps the most important in all of the scripture, how we can find peace through prayer, gratitude, and thanksgiving. The main idea this morning is very simple, and you'll see it here on the screen. Freedom from anxiety comes not by avoiding problems, because I don't know if you live in this world, but I do. There's problems that always abound. Freedom doesn't come from avoiding problems, but by bringing our anxious hearts under the loving rule of God. If you're a note taker, man, I encourage you, you can pull out your phone, take some notes. I want to be a help to you this morning, not a hurt to you. I don't want you to feel like I'm shaming or attacking anybody. We want to just open up the scriptures and say that there is hope for the anxious heart. There is hope from Jesus alone for those that struggle with worry. And freedom from anxiety doesn't come from avoiding those problems, but by bringing those problems, those anxious hearts under the loving rule of God. And so if you're anxious now, if you struggle from anxiety from time to time, if you have struggled in the past with anxiety, my prayer for you, as I've been praying all of this week, by the end of this message, is that we're going to understand these scriptures a little bit more, but then also experience the Holy Spirit freeing your heart from anxiety as you trust in Christ. All right, so if you're taking notes, freedom from anxiety, it comes not from avoiding problems, right? But by bringing our anxious hearts under the lordship of Christ. Number one, our first thought this morning, we're turning to Matthew chapter 6, if you can. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34. Now, during our scripture reading, we read this passage, but our first point is very simple. Anxiety reveals when we've prioritized the wrong kingdom, yet peace comes from seeking God's. Now, if you're new here to Grace Church, what we try to do is we just try to unpack the scriptures I'll give some thoughts, but what we believe wholeheartedly as a church is that the authority of Scripture trumps everything. Not my experience, not your experience, not what somebody says about anxiety, but what does the Bible say about worry and anxiety? And so we go to Matthew chapter 6. It's a famous passage. So let's read it real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We read it briefly this morning. The Scripture says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. For the anxious heart this morning, hear these words, aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to your life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe the wildflowers of the field that they grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, if that's how God takes care of this earth, in other words, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" Now, in this famous passage, Jesus is time and time again, in fact, three times he's repeating this command, church. He's saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious. The command is there. All right, so Jesus is literally telling us this morning, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Notice the section, how it opens up. It says, therefore, and that's the very beginning of verse 24. Well, if you ever see the word therefore, you have to understand why it is therefore, if you haven't heard that, because this is connecting the command to what Jesus has just taught beforehand. Okay, so Jesus has just warned against serving money and serving possessions. Don't store up earthly treasures. You see that there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. And then he goes on and he says, you can't serve both God and money. And then he says, therefore, if we do choose to serve God, we must stop anxiously obsessing over our material need. Why? Because Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is far superior than earthly pursuits. In other words, the kingdom of God is far more worthy and deserving of our attention than the things of this world. So you don't have to fret about the lesser things like food or clothing. And that's the context. And so then Jesus goes into in verse 25, and he says, I tell you, because of these things, because you're not to seek after the kingdom of this earth, but you're supposed to seek after the kingdom of heaven, because of that, I tell you, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body or what you're going to wear, because isn't more than food in the body than the clothing? See, Jesus is addressing the core of our daily worries, what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. And I don't know about you, but man, as a guy in this room who is a provider, like so many guys are, there's a lot of anxiety that can come from what is my next paycheck going to look like? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to afford to go to Kroger and buy food when it just seems like egg prices are going up or when milk is unaffordable? How am I going to afford to take care of my kids as they eat more, right? These are the daily worries of so many people. But Jesus shifts our perspective, church, and he says, hey, look, life is far more about what's on your plate, or it's far more greater than what's on your plate or what's in your closet. Jesus is calling us to the eternal, church. He's saying, hey, like, you don't need to worry about your material needs, because when you worry about your material needs, you're actually reducing yourself to the level of an animal. Whoa, that seems a little offensive, Pastor Jordan, but look at what Jesus literally says. Consider the birds of the sky. Jesus is saying, hey, look, if I take care of all the animals on this earth, if I take care of all of creation, aren't you so far more valuable than they? So don't miss it, church. When we reduce ourselves to the level of animals by worrying about the material things in our life, we are overstepping the command that Jesus gives. Don't worry about it. Jesus implies life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. We're made for a higher purpose. We are made to know and to serve God, not just to scrounge around for sustenance. Now, my wife and I, we moved out. We got a couple acres and we have chickens. And if you are interested in any type of animal, but specifically chickens, you understand what chickens do all day, every day. What do? They're constantly pecking. They never stop pecking. They never sit down and say, like, oh, maybe I'll read this really nice political book or something, like, or maybe I'll just go and, like, read my Bible. They're not spiritual beings. The chickens are animals, and what do? They scrounge around for every little scrap of food that they can find. And Jesus says, and they're cared for. So how much more important are you? So to free us from these anxious thoughts, Jesus gives this illustration from God's creation. He says that, consider the birds. Look at the wildflowers. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? I want you to think about this for a second, church. Birds don't have stock portfolios. Birds don't have overflowing pantries. They aren't sitting there wringing their tiny little bird hands thinking, oh, ooh, I wonder where my next month's worms are going to come from. So church, if God faithfully feeds the sparrows, will he not much more take care of you as his child? This is Jesus' argument, the argument from the lesser to the greater. He says, are you not more of value than they? I like what one commentator says. He notes that so much of our worry and our anxiety is rooted in forgetting how precious we are to God. Here's what he says, we don't comprehend how deeply our Father loves us and cares for us, so we live as orphans instead of beloved children. But Jesus reminds us of our value. And this morning, he reminds us of our value in the Father's eyes. And so when anxiety, church, whispers in your ear, you're on your own. Jesus says, no, you are not on your own. You have a Father who cares for you. So he goes on to the wildflowers. He says, look, observe the lilies of the field. They don't labor or spin thread. They're going to be beautiful in their splendor. They're clothed. And so if God lavishes this beauty on grass, wildflowers here and today, and then they're burned tomorrow, he says, then won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Now, this is the crux of the issue that Jesus outlines here in Matthew chapter 6. Because Jesus is putting his finger on the heart of anxiety. He's putting his finger on where this worry, where this anxiety stems from, and he says it's ultimately a faith issue. And that's what he says here in verse 30. Won't he, that's your heavenly Father, do much more for you, you of little faith. He puts his finger. Jesus literally says the problem with anxiety, the heart of anxiety, the root of anxiety is ultimately a faith issue. I'm here to tell you, church, worry is not just a harmless habit. It is at its root a failure to trust in the goodness and the power of God. And so one author put it this way, anxiety is blatant distrust of the power and the love of God. And I'm here to tell you, that might sound harsh, but I want you to think about it. When we persist in worry, we are in effect saying, God, I don't really believe that you're going to take care of me. I'm not really sure that you're able or willing to handle my problems. And so when we keep these worried or anxious thoughts, what we're saying is like, hey, I'm just going to have to carry these burdens on myself. You're not willing, you're not able, so I'm just going to have to worry more. I'm just going to have to, you know, pick up myself by my bootstraps and continue on. And that's why Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6 exclaims, you are the one of little faith. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, to think the Lord who clothes the lilies will leave his own children naked is shameful. Oh, little faith, learn better manners, says Spurgeon. Church, Jesus invites us to replace our unbelief with trust. Your Father knows your needs, and he's not going to abandon you. Jesus says, hey, look, worry is futile. He goes on in the passage to say, can any of you add a moment to your life? Can any add a moment to your life by worrying? Can all the anxious fretting add a single hour to your life? And the answer is a rhetorical, of course not. In fact, modern medicine confirms the opposite. Instead of adding to our life by living in anxious thoughts or living in anxiety and worry, we actually harm ourselves through worry. Stress is linked to so many health problems, and doctors even estimate that 75 to 90% of all doctor's visits are related to stress-related issues. Church, worry and anxiety doesn't lengthen your life. It actually likely shortens it. It accomplishes nothing productive. And I like what one writer said, worry is kind of like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants better for you. He wants better for us than a life of useless fretting and worry. And so the alternative is what? Well, Jesus doesn't just say, stop worrying. He tells us what to do instead. And church, this is important because we don't want to enter into a moment where we think that Jesus or the Bible or scriptures or other Christians are shaming us because we feel anxious or we feel worried. That is not the God of the Bible. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, stop worrying and like figure it out. He says, hey, instead of worrying, do this instead. And this goes back to our point. Anxiety reveals that we've prioritized the wrong kingdom, yet peace comes by seeking God's. Here's what Jesus says. He says, hey, don't just stop worrying. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided for you. See this in verse 33. So brother or sister, in place of preoccupation with your material needs, occupy yourself with the kingdom of God. Make his reign and his righteousness your primary concern. And God promises that he will take care of the rest. Now, this is not a call to be irresponsible. This is not a call to be lazy. Birds still have to fly around, and they still have to peck at the ground. Flowers still have to grow in the soil, back to the illustration that Jesus gives. We still work. We still act responsibility. We don't just sit there and think, well, God's just going to provide for us. That's not what Jesus is saying. But what Jesus is saying from this contextually is, if you take care of my kingdom and my business, I'll take care of yours. In essence, prioritize the eternal, and your Father will provide the temporal, because Jesus and our gracious God is a good Father. He knows exactly what we need. You see that in verse 32, and he delights to give good gifts to his children. So what are you most anxious about today? Is it finances? Is it what you're going to eat? Is it what you're going to drink? Is it what you are going to wear? Is it your health or maybe some family needs? I just want you to stop and hear Jesus' gentle command. Don't worry. Not because those things don't matter, but because they do matter to God. And that's why he says that your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says this, that you can release your grip on anxiety and that you can instead grip onto the promises of God's provision. In essence, make his kingdom your focus and trust him to faithfully provide one day at a time. Number one, anxiety reveals when we prioritize the wrong kingdom, peace comes by seeking first the kingdom of God. Number two, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about worry. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. So the first thing we see with anxiety is if we adjust our priorities to match God's kingdom and stop worrying about the temporal, God promises that he will care for us in the temporal. But then the second thing we need to understand is anxiety grows when we forge alone, when we forge forward alone. And freedom comes when we entrust ourselves to the mighty hand of God. Look at the verse again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. See, the problem with anxiety and the problem with worry is we just think we got to carry on that burden on our own. But the Bible says you can't do it. Now, these two verses from 1 Peter are a treasure for the anxious heart. We have a command, okay? We have both the command, humble yourselves, but then we also have the comforting promise of God's care. You see, we are to humble ourselves. He'll exalt us at proper time. But we are to cast all of our cares on him because he cares about you. So how do we do that, Peter? Well, we cast our cares on him. In the original Greek, the word casting is directly connected to humbling ourselves. In essence, it is indicating that we are to humble ourselves under God's hand. Namely, we are to throw our anxieties onto him. Now think about this for just a moment, brothers and sisters, it actually takes humility to hand your issues, your problems, your worries, your anxieties to God. It takes humility to do that. Because here's the reality, our prideful and sinful flesh wants to take control. I'll handle this myself. And so often we sometimes subconsciously believe that worrying about something is what holds our world together. But ultimately that is self-delusion. If I just keep worrying, if I just keep being anxious about it, and sometimes again it's subconscious, but there's this delusion that sometimes comes across, and essentially what Peter says is that is pride. What Peter is saying is, hey, look, let God be God. You can't take on all the problems of this world. You're under his mighty hand. He is in charge. So humble yourself by trusting him with the things, church, that are so far bigger than you and I. That's what Peter is saying here. See, faith, as we've talked about, the issue that Jesus is talking about when it comes to worry, faith and humility go hand in hand. It's prideful to insist on keeping our anxieties as if we're the only one who can solve them. And what humility says out of 1 Peter chapter 5 is, Lord, you are sovereign, you are mighty, I am not, I can't handle this, but you can. Now, Peter chooses a really expressive word here in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says that we are to cast, and he uses the verb form casting your cares on God. The word means really literally to throw upon, to unload. It's the same term that was used when people threw their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to ride in Luke chapter 19. And this is literally what God is telling you and I to do with our anxieties and our worry. Like, take all of those worried thoughts and all those anxious thoughts and literally throw them onto God. So picture a heavy backpack off your shoulders and taking that backpack and just heaving it onto a strong camel or an ox. And that is what God invites us to do with our anxieties. He says, take the whole weight of your worry. Take all of those pressures and drop it on my shoulders. I like one paraphrase said it this in 1 Peter 5. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him because you are his personal concern. And what a reassuring thought. That you're not just a face in the crowd to God, but you are actually of his personal concern, to where he would write to you and I today that we are to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for you. I want you to stop and let that sink in for a second, church. God cares about you. The God who spoke galaxies into existence, the God whose hand guides history, that God cares about you personally and deeply, church. You see, if you ever doubt it, look to the cross, which was the most perfect and ultimate expression of God's love. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 reminds us that he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything that we need? In other words, if God loved you enough to sacrifice Jesus to save you, surely he loves you enough to carry your anxieties and to meet your lesser needs. Let me just rewind, because that would be a great time for anxious hearts to say amen. If God loved you enough to sacrifice Jesus to save you, surely he loves you enough to carry your anxieties and to meet your lesser needs. Amen. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to cast your cares upon him? Well, it certainly involves prayer, and we're going to talk about that out of Philippians 4 in just a moment. It involves entrusting our specific worries to God through prayer. Hey, look, it might be even as simple as saying, Lord, I give you this concern about my job. I can't carry it. Please carry it for me. Because each time we humbly say this and we humbly come in prayer, we say, hey, look, God, you are God. I'm not God. You deal with this. I know you care for me in this situation. Let your glory be shown through me. There was a little story of a child who was trying to fix a broken toy. and maybe you have kids, maybe you don't have kids, maybe you have a nephew or a grandchild, but this little child is trying to fix the broken toy, and he's getting more and more frustrated. He's just trying to fix this toy, and his father gently says, "Hey, why don't you let me fix it?" The child pouts and says, "No, I can do it," until he's exhausted, and he's in tears, and he hands the broken toy to the dad. And it's only then that the father begins to work on repair. How often are you like that child? "No, I can do it. I got it. I can keep the sin. I don't need you, God. It's okay. I'll just get through this week. I'll just get through this marriage. I'll just get through this. Once the kids are out, we'll be good. Whatever." But God, our Father, is saying, "Hey, like, cast it on me. I care for you. Let me carry that." And when you finally release it, God's peace can replace your panic. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. If I can maybe give a little bit of an illustration like that, God's shoulders, can we say this without, you know, diminishing the glory of our great Creator, but God's shoulders are far broad enough for all of your cares. And you can see it in the scriptures here, casting all of your cares on Him. Look, brothers and sisters, not just the big stuff. All means all. Like, cast all your cares on Him. The big anxieties about your health, the little anxieties that you have about a conversation that you're dreading. It matters to God, and if it matters to you, it matters to Him. You can't overload the Lord. There's no anxiety that's too small to bring Him. There's none too large for His wonderful and majestic power. He cares about the whole range of your worry. And so secondly, anxiety grows when we forge alone. Freedom comes when we entrust ourselves to God's mighty hand. Number three, we're wrapping this up, talking about freed from anxiety. Number three, turn to Psalm 55 and verse 22. Now, I do mention this. Our church is expositional in nature. We've been going through the book of Acts for over a year. This summer, we're taking a break to do this series called Freed From. But we're still treating these passages expositionally. We're not just cherry-picking passages that aren't talking about anxiety to try to talk about anxiety. We're trying to give some context on that, and so I just want to let you know that. But there are times where it's helpful to go into a series, and that's why we're doing this as we're talking about anxiety. So let's look at our third point from Psalm chapter 55, and verse 22. Anxiety can shake the foundations of your life, but God invites us to cast our burden on Him. Psalm 55 and verse 22. The scripture says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Let me read that one more time again. "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." How often do we not believe that promise that God has given for His people? God literally says that we can cast our burdens on the Lord, that we don't have to live in anxiety. That's what this scripture is saying. We can cast those burdens on the Lord, and He's going to sustain you, keep you going. So here's the Old Testament, a confirmation about what we've been learning about anxiety. King David is writing from his own experience. He says, "Cast your burden on the Lord. Throw your burden onto Yahweh. Yahweh will sustain you," is what David is saying. Now, if you know anything about the scriptures, specifically about David, David knew a thing or two about burdens, right? He knew a thing or two about difficult moments. Earlier in the psalm, you see here in Psalm chapter 55, verses 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. He says, "My heart is in anguish within me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me." This is a guy who has lived in a state of anxiety. He has been anxious before. He's been worried before, right? So let's not pretend that the Bible doesn't talk about anxiety. Let's not pretend that there aren't people, real people, in the scriptures who have dealt with anxiety, just like you and like me. David is saying, look, horror has overwhelmed me. Have you ever been there? In this moment where there's anguish, there's fear, there's trembling, there's visceral response coming from your body physically due to worry or anxiety? David knew a thing or two about it. David even says, look at verse 6. Look at the scriptures. Let's just look at the scriptures, right? Oh, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest. Man, you think about that for the anxious heart. Man, I wish this could just end. I wish I didn't have to deal with this pressure. I wish it would just be all over. David says that, verse 6. Oh, if I had wings like a dove, I'd just fly away. I just wish I wasn't ever here. I wish I didn't have to deal with this anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Wanting just to escape an anxious situation. Look, David understands that impulse. And in Psalm chapter 55, he's talking about this betrayal by a close friend. You see that in verses 12 and 14. There's this threat of his violent enemies. And we hear in the very scriptures that you are holding today this raw anxiety in David's voice. I wish I could just leave. I wish I couldn't be here. Yet after he unloads his complaint, David arrives at this exhortation to himself. And he arrives at this exhortation for you and me today. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Now, the Hebrew word here for burden can mean your lot, your gift, your fate. I think fate is the best definition in the context, your fate. Basically, what David is saying is, hey, whatever portion life has given you, your fate, right? Especially if it's a heavy or a painful lot, and trust it to the Lord. It might be grief, it might be worry, it might be a hardship. And what David is saying is like, give that over to the Lord in faith. And what is the promise? Not necessarily that God's gonna remove the burden. And this is something that we have to get in our minds. It's not that the burden is going to go away immediately. It's not that all of issues in life will just vanish one day, poof, and God just lifts them off and it's gone. It's never gonna. We're never gonna have to go through a hardship or a difficulty. That's not the promise that God gives us here in Psalm chapter 55. What is the promise that God gives us? The promise is that he will sustain you. In other words, God will uphold us in the midst of it. Look, I'm here to tell you that sometimes God does not lift the weight off of your shoulders in an instant. But he does give us the strength to carry it until the proper time. Church, that battle maybe with infertility, the strained relationship with your in-laws, that relationship that you have with your boss, the lack of knowing where your meal is going to come from or how you're going to progress in your job or your career. God's not necessarily going to take those things away, but he does promise to sustain you. He does promise to sustain me. Because even in this passage, we read that his sustaining grace is pledged to us. And that's why in the next verse, David testifies that God will never permit his righteous to be shaken. In essence, he's never going to allow his people to fall. And so you might feel a little bit shaken now, but you will never be forsaken because God's everlasting arms are underneath you. Now, notice what the verse doesn't say. The verse doesn't say, cast your burden on the Lord and he will give it right back to you. The scriptures are clear that he's going to take charge of it. And that's the invitation that we read here in Psalm chapter 55. The invitation is drop it at his feet and trust him to sustain you. That's why David says that. God's not going to allow the righteous to be shaken or moved. It reminds me of another psalm, Psalm chapter 37, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed, for the Lord supports him with his hand. Look, church, if you cast your burden on the Lord, you might stumble, you might struggle, you might have those difficult moments, but the Bible promises that you won't crash because God is sustaining you. I kind of liken it to a hiking backpacker, and sometimes on these trips, like you're going on a backpacking trip, but it's through a dangerous area, and so you might have this hiking guide. And so there's this novice hiker, and the novice hiker is carrying this huge pack, and all of a sudden he's kind of coming to the edge. He starts to stumble on the rocky trail, but this strong guide reaches out, grabs him, and takes that heavy pack off the hiker's back and puts it on his own. The hiker regains balance. He can walk again without collapsing, and God is somewhat like that guide. God says, give me that burden. I'll carry the weight. I will sustain you. And so, church, as you even internalize Psalm 55 and verse 22, I would just encourage you, maybe consider writing it on a card. Maybe write it on a sticky note. Put it on your fridge somewhere this week where you can read, cast your burden on the Lord. He is going to sustain you. And then when anxiety attacks, when worry creeps up in your heart, preach that to yourself. When the tightness begins in your chest or around your throat, or there's that late night racing thought cycle that begins, pause and say, okay, God, here it is. I'm tossing this burden onto you. You might have to do it repeatedly, but God says he will faithfully sustain you. He will steady you. So we've heard from Jesus. We've heard from Peter. We've heard from David. They all point us to cast our worries on our caring God. Let's finish off with Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is in the New Testament. If you need a Bible, there is a Bible in your pew there. You're more than welcome to use as well. And our fourth and final point is this. Anxiety is a signal not to panic, but to pray. It's like a bell that rings off in our heart. Not to panic, but to pray, because prayer turns anxiety into peace. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says this. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Church, if you were looking for an anti-anxiety prescription in Scripture, this would be the anti-anxiety prescription that you would get. In two verses, Paul gives a command, a method, and a promise. And so let's break it down for just a moment, and then we'll be on our way this morning. First, look at the command. Don't worry about anything. That's about as comprehensive as it gets, right? Maybe I just want to worry a little bit about my kids. No, that's not anything. Maybe I'll just worry a little bit about my job. No, that's not it. I'll just worry a little bit about my sustenance. Well, no. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Now, if we're honest, we want to make exceptions. Well, I won't worry about trivial things. But the situation here is no exceptions. Like, don't worry about anything. One commentator said this. Worry is a sin because basically what we're saying is God can't handle it. And I'm here to tell you, it's true. Paul echoes Jesus here. Do not be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, this doesn't mean we become careless or apathetic. It means whatever concern begins to start to bleed into anxiety, we have to choose a different path. We have to go a different way. We can't let that grip our heart. Now, I want to be very clear and honest. The temptation for worry, the temptation to be anxious is not sin. It's when we let that worry grip our hearts. We don't take that other path. And so Paul immediately follows through with the method to obey this command. So you've got the command, right? Don't worry about anything. Then he goes into the method. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't worry about anything, but instead of worrying, Paul says, hey, look, pray about everything. What Paul is saying simply is this, church, turn your worries into prayers. Every concern that you have is a call to prayer, and that's the point. The point that we're trying to make here in verse 4 is anxiety is a signal, not to panic, oh, what am I going to do? Anxiety is a signal. Worry is a signal to prayer. Hey, if I'm feeling anxious, I got to pray. Because prayer turns anxiety into peace. Now, I want you to notice the variety of words that Paul uses here. He says prayer, petition, request. It's all kinds of prayers. From general communion with God to specific asks, big and small, everything is in the scope. There's nothing that's too big. There's nothing that is too small to bring to the Lord. If it's big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough to request of God. If it's small enough that you're thinking about it, it wouldn't and shouldn't be a bother to the Lord. So anyway, either way, all the way, pray and don't worry. So then Paul, he adds this thought. He says that we're to pray with thanksgiving. Now, this is crucial. Thanksgiving isn't an afterthought to prayer. It's actually the atmosphere of prayer. And God calls us to thanksgiving because when we thank God, we affirm our faith in his goodness. We recall past mercies. We acknowledge present blessings. Can I throw it out this way? Gratitude, this idea of thankfulness, is actually the antidote to anxiety. Now, the Bible says this and proclaims this, but actually research shows this to be true. The medical community says that gratitude literally reduces anxiety in our brains. More importantly, Scripture says it builds our faith. So think of Jesus, right? Before he would ever do a miracle, he would thank the Lord. He would give thanks. Thanksgiving is this. It's saying, God, I remember how you've helped me before, and I trust that you're going to do it again. So thank him for listening. Thank him for whatever he's going to do, even before you see the answer. Thank him for him being in control, because the reality is this: when we are thanking God and showing gratitude and we are worshiping him, the reality is this, that worship and worry cannot and will not ever fill the same space. So the promise. We got the command, we've got what we're supposed to do, but the promise, and this is so key, Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the most beautiful promises in all of the Scriptures. See, if you refuse to worry and you pray about everything with thankful faith, the Bible says and promises that God's peace will come. And it's not just any kind of peace. The Bible describes that this is the peace of God that far surpasses anything that we could ever imagine. It surpasses all of our understanding. It's beyond human reasoning. It's beyond human explanation. And I don't know about you, but I've encountered times in my own life, and I've encountered times with other people where they're going through intense difficulty. The pressures and the worry is all around. And you look at some people who are dealing with that with God's grace in their life, and they say, I don't know how calm you can be in this situation that you are in. That is the peace that passes all understanding that God promised, a supernatural peace. It's not a false peace. It's not denial. It's not distraction. It's not even just simply a positive thinking or temporary relief. The Bible says that this is an enduring, stabilizing peace that is supernatural, that comes from God. Paul uses this military metaphor. He says that this type of peace is going to guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for guard means to be a garrison that stands watch over. And so if you remember the Philippians, they lived in a Roman colony, and they would picture these Roman sentries that were guarding the city gates. And so what Paul is saying is, hey, like, look, God's peace is like these soldiers that surround your heart and mind and defend you from the assaults, the difficulties of worry, of anxiety. And then he says, and this is all through Christ Jesus. And that's key, because the peace that we have from the Lord is not something that is self-generated. It comes through our relationship with Jesus, because we are in Christ. He will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we have access to this peace that the world can't give, that the world can't even understand. So we've covered a lot of ground. Matthew 6. Jesus tells us that we are to seek God's kingdom and trust our Father's provision. 1 Peter chapter 5 says we are to humble ourselves. Don't try to carry those anxieties on your own. Humble yourselves. Say, God, you are God. You can care for me even in these situations. And we can cast all, literally take those burdens and throw it onto the Lord. Psalm 55 says something similar, that we are to cast our burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Look, church, he's not going to necessarily take those difficulties away, but he does promise that he will sustain us through those difficulties. And then Philippians chapter 4, hey, look, every worry that comes in our mind is a ding, 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 ding. Feeling anxious? Time to take it to God in prayer. In everything, anything. Because no matter how big the worry, no matter how small the worry, God cares for you and he cares for me, and his supernatural peace will literally guard our hearts and mind, like that garrison outside of the Philippian city, like literally will guard our hearts from anxiety, worry, and difficulty. Church, all four of these passages converge on the simple truth. We overcome anxiety by trusting a caring, sovereign God. Or maybe to just use the title of our sermon today, we are freed from anxiety when we entrust ourselves, our mind, body, soul, circumstances into the hands of a loving Father. Now, I want to be very clear as we end this morning. I want you to understand my heart for this. At the end of the day, the answer to anxiety isn't a formula. The answer to anxiety is a Father, the Father. It's not a pill, it's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace. And so I want us to be reminded of a few things as we close, that God doesn't, that God does care about our mental, that God does care about our emotional health. And what I want you to understand is that these verses are not just saying, hey, just have more faith, just you'll get through it, you just do it yourself. That's not what we're talking about from the scriptures. We're not saying, well, if you just have more faith, then you'll never feel anxious. That's not what we're saying. Because as we even just saw through David in Psalm chapter 55, there are many godly people who have wrestled with anxiety. There are many godly people in this church who wrestle with anxiety. There are many godly people outside of this church. There are many Christians who wrestle with anxiety. So much could be written, so much could be said about how we struggle with anxiety. Again, the Psalms are full of honest prayers, honest, anxious prayers. David, I wish I was like a dove. I could just go away. What I want you to know is this. The Bible isn't shaming us for feeling anxious. The Bible isn't shaming us for feeling worried. It's inviting us to bring that worry to the one who can truly help. And so if you are battling severe anxiety, I just want to tell you this. God can and does use multiple means to help you. Prayer, scripture, a friend, Christian counseling, maybe even medical treatment at times. There's no shame in that. I'm not saying that God does not use multiple means to help you. But at the core, the greatest need for the anxious heart is to anchor our hearts in the truth that God is for us, that we have a Savior who is Emmanuel, God with us in the storm. So friends, what do you need to cast on the Lord right now? I would say take a moment even as we close in prayer to mentally open your hearts to release the anxieties that you have to the Lord. If you have a care, throw it on his shoulders, because Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Because get it, there is rest for the anxious soul in the arms of our God. There is freedom from the chokehold of worry. Not because life won't have troubles. Jesus said that each day has its own trouble. But because we never face those troubles alone, and we don't have to face those troubles alone in our own strength. God cares for you, and he invites you, as we've seen through the scriptures this morning, he invites you to trust in him day by day, moment by moment, for his glory and for his honor. Church, freedom from anxiety comes not by avoiding problems, but by bringing our anxious hearts under the loving rule of our God.